Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Well, joining us on the line right now, longtime columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer, Marcus Hayes. Marcus, good morning.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're all right.
Are you concerned?
Over the 76ers?
Yes, you're always concerned over the 76ers.
I am concerned over these. Yeah. One performance, I get it, coming off a huge victory over Boston, emotional win. You're bound to have a letdown. But to see zero effort against Orlando, that was a little concerning, no?
Well, I think you and I disagree about the effort part. I think they're a little confused and a little, you know, befuddled. And they also were playing without their, you know, all-star point guard. So, you know, there's that.
All right, now, Marcus, you put out some great columns this week. I have to start with the one you had about Jake Voracek, about the Flyers, and they've dropped it's 4 of 6, I believe, down in this home stretch here when they were very much, although they had an outside shot, a shot to get into the Stanley Cup playoffs and have fallen significantly short. Jake Voracek came out and said how the team choked. Are they just not good enough?
Well, the context was we choked in the games where we could have had a 4-point swing. I think 2 against Montreal and 1 against Columbus. And he's right that they would have been better off had they won those games. But I was at the Montreal game, the last Montreal game, and I didn't think they choked. I thought they were exhausted. They played a terrible first period, and a couple of them would tell you in the locker room afterwards, you know, not on the record, but yeah, you know, four games in 6 days is a lot when you've played, when it's your, I think it was their 73rd game. I mean, Keith could probably speak to that. When they've essentially been in playoff mode since what? I don't know, mid-January when they sort of surged back into relevance. But, you know, it's just, hockey's hard, you know, and it's the same guys with the same minutes every night. You're going to wear down. That's why this comeback, this run was so improbable, because you're asking so much of the same guys over and over and over again. And Jake Voracek didn't even play in that game. He was suspended. So, right. You know, you take your third highest point total guy away from that equation, playing a team that's just as desperate as you. And I know it sounds like I'm making excuses, but I'm not saying the Flyers are good. What I'm saying is they didn't lay down. They didn't choke. They just are kind of what they are.
And do you think Jake was looking back, Marcus, and basically revisiting the entire season and the way that it started based upon the expectations he had for the team?
I think he actually gave that context. You know what I'm saying? In these games where there were 4-point swings, we choked. And I mean, I watched all those games. You probably watched all those games. I'd be interested to see if you thought they, you know, quote-unquote choked. I just don't think they're good enough to be – certainly not. I don't think they can win a playoff round. I don't think they could win a playoff round. I haven't thought they could win a playoff round in years. And the difference between, like, the sixth seed and the last place team isn't as huge for me as the last place, as the eighth seed and the first seed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and especially
so
if you're going to
play undermanned.
Yeah, and if you're going to run into Tampa in round number one, it would be no contest. No contest, but based upon how dominant Tampa has been this year, too. But when you have a hole that is as significant as the hole the Flyers put themselves in, really tough to come out of that. And I think that's probably where some of that frustration comes from, too.
Exactly. Again, and it's not only that. I mean, every year at the trading deadline, we're talking about, are they going to sell or are they going to buy? And that's been true since Jake Voracek got his contract extension. I remember the year before he got his contract extension, I looked at this roster and I said, you know what? Let's just blow it up. Trade Jake, trade Claude, trade Wayne, you know, because Wayne hadn't extended. Jake hadn't extended. They were incredibly good values for a team trading them. Then Claude Giroux was, you know, as good, or it was pre-injury Claude Giroux. And, you know, pre-winger Claude Giroux. So he was considered probably one of the 10 best players in the game at that point. But I never thought this team was good enough to avoid something like that happened at the beginning of the season. They've always been sort of on the precipice of somewhere between 10 and 6 as far as the Eastern Conference seeding goes. And, you know, if that's good enough for you, and it seems to be good enough for the Flyers, or has seemed to be good enough for the Flyers, fine. But, you know, for Jake to say, okay, look, we should have been this much better, even all the way back to the beginning of the season, I just didn't see it, especially with a goaltending issue where Brian Elliott was never really healthy, and Carter Hart, you can argue, was never really ready until they actually did call him up, I guess, in December.
Marcus Hayes, let me ask you this then. In your opinion, where does this leave Scott Gordon?
I don't know. It's tough. I mean, I really like Scott. I think he's a perfect coach for 80% of this roster. You know, I'm not sure that he's the perfect coach for the upper 20% of this roster, whatever it is, though Sean Couturier seems to have responded well to him. Claude Giroux could play for anybody. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know what an upgrade does. And if you upgrade, then it moves the goalposts. It makes next year, you know, you got to be a top six seed next year if you go out and hire Joel Quenneville. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It has to happen. And I don't know that they have the guns to make that happen. I don't think they do, and I don't think they can get them. I mean, the core players on this team haven't shown me they're good enough. Like, Nolan Patrick not taking a step forward. Ivan Provorov taking a step back after looking like he's going to be a generational defenseman, you know, this season, or at least for portions of this season. Wayne Simmons being absent for large parts of the season before he was traded. You know, it wasn't necessarily Dave Hextall, and it hasn't necessarily been Scott Gordon or even Carter Hart. You got to play better in front of him.
Right.
And they've got a lot of guys who need to step up to justify a coaching, quote-unquote, upgrade.
Marcus Hayes joining us this morning. By the way, if you want to follow Marcus on Twitter, it's at InkStainedWretch. Marcus, transitioning over to the Phillies. Gabe Kapler,
story you wrote is terrific.
Yeah, I can you please? I mean, without telling, you know, I encourage everybody to check it out on Philly.com or through your link on Twitter. Can you please tell us about what you wrote about Gabe Kapler and his Andy McPhail?
I show up at spring training like 2 Mondays ago. Vince Velasquez and I think Jared Eichhoff both pitched that day. And I just went down to, like, you know, due diligence. I was doing something else, just put my tape recorder in front of him. You know how it is, John. And Gabe Kapler criticized Vince Velasquez's mentality and Jared Eichhoff's execution. And I couldn't believe I was hearing what I was hearing because I'd become used to, I fully expected rah-rah Vinny, go-go Jared, and it didn't happen. And I was startled, so I started sort of, you know, chronicling everything I could. I wish the players had played worse, and I wish Gabe had been available more because there was an off day in there. Because it was, you know, I'd say a good 50% more candid. Everything. I mean, there was lots of Jake Arrieta's just getting his work in stuff, and don't worry about Bryce Harper. He's a pro.
Right.
But, you know, when Bryce Harper goes 0-for-9 and Jake Arrieta looks poor in, you know, 4 consecutive outings, you're not going to get anything that you think you should get. But I'm not so sure that, you know, the stars, the big, you know, the guys making the most money are going to get the most criticism. But, you know, maybe Gabe Kapler will not be telling us that, you know, Jake Arrieta is a horse if he's got a 5 ERA and wins one game after July. And maybe he won't be telling us that, you know, Bryce Harper's a stud, you know, or what do you say about Carlos Santana? Great year if he hits, you know, 212, you know, or 150 through the middle of May. You know what I'm saying?
One of the things I found interesting in there is because you talked about Andy McPhail, and I would have expected Andy to talk to him and tell him to be more candid, but it seemed like you talked to a lot of the people around the Phillies organization that they were all hearing the same thing. And as you wrote, be authentic when you talk about it, or you'll be gone. Yeah, I found that interesting.
And it's fascinating, too, because Gabe was a Red Sox in Boston during, like, the crazy Red Sox year. You know, so he knows what the East Coast demand. And I'll tell you this. There's nobody in that organization who's rooting against Gabe Kapler. And that happens sometimes. You know as well as I do, sometimes there's – everybody wants Gabe Kapler to do well because everybody really respects Gabe Kapler's work ethic, ideas, communication, you know, discipline, all those sorts of things. And they understand that baseball needs innovation. But all of them also understand that when you shovel it in Philadelphia, it's like shoveling it into the wind because it's coming right back at you.
Now, this is what I'm worried about, Marcus. Andy McPhail, you know, speaking to Gabe Kapler, is essentially asking him to be the exact opposite of what he is. I am worried he'll be a complete disaster because he's not being himself and forcing something that he is not. That has to be a legit concern, no?
Well, it's interesting. I hadn't thought about it that way, John, but I'm not sure any of us knows what Gabe Kapler is. And I like Gabe Kapler, so I don't mean that to be sort of a snarky, you know, insult or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Number one. Number two, I don't think Gabe Kapler kind of knows what he is in this role. And let's be honest, this is a guy who, you know, if he's shaving in the morning and he notices that, you know, the seventh whisker, you know, from his left ear isn't being shaved correctly, he's going to do an hour of research at a coffee shop on better razors for the seventh whisker from his left ear or different angles by which he should hold the razor,
right,
and shave. I mean, this is a guy who changes constantly. The only constant about Gabe Kapler is that there's nothing constant. There's nothing consistent. I mean, he takes care of himself physically, but he changes that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Everything's an evolution with Gabe Kapler. So I don't know that he's Larry Boa trying to be nice.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, exactly. Right. And it's a good point. I remember the middle of last season, during alumni weekend, I spoke to Curt Schilling, and one of the things I actually took away from the conversation when speaking about Gabe Kapler was how he mentioned how he'll rarely ever make the same mistake twice because he jots down everything, analyzes it, and then tries to make, you know, the proper adjustment the second time around, and we all hope that'll happen in this 2019 season. You also wrote about, Bryce Harper and that combination of cockiness and cool, something the franchise hasn't had since who?
Lenny Dykstra.
Oh, my. Ow.
That's not right. That's not right, Marcus.
I told Al that this morning, Marcus, around 5 a.m., and he goes, what?
Jimmy Rollins, but Lenny?
You think Jimmy was cooler than Lenny and cockier than Lenny?
I think he was cooler than Lenny,
yes,
for sure. And I mean, he's the one that said they were the team to beat. I mean.
You got a good argument. I mean, Jimmy is a close second. Lenny is probably for who he was and what he did, Lenny is probably the most outlandishly cocky guy I've ever seen. And this is a guy who, like, you know, he, like, stole the fixtures from his mansion. You know what I'm saying?
But that's what I mean. Aren't you worried about, like, a lawsuit linking those two together?
Well, no, because you know what? Bryce Harper's nuts.
Well, this I need to know more about. Yeah.
Do you think Jimmy would have flipped the bat at the end of the home run derby the way that Bryce Harper did? Or do you think Lenny would have done that?
Lenny.
In this context. I mean, he's just – Bryce Harper doesn't care. Bryce Harper's been a superstar since before he could drive a car. Since before he could, you know, he doesn't drink, before he could buy a beer.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't care. And that's the thing that, you know, compares him to Lenny. Jimmy was a very disciplined player. Jimmy was a very accomplished, polished player. Lenny was a good player, but Lenny was just, you know, absolutely no governor. And that's how Bryce Harper plays. I mean, Bryce Harper dived for a ball in the outfield and stole a base that he didn't need to steal in his first game playing in the outfield at Yankee Stadium as a Philly, or Legends Field as a Philly. He just signed for $330 million. He's diving for a spring training ball. He's stealing second base. Actually, I think that was the first game he played in the field as a Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nuts. That's stuff Lenny would do. Jimmy diving for a ball in the first game?
No.
I don't think so.
No. Well, I'm just curious. We're doing this Bryce is Right thing. What percentage of his salary do you think is for his charisma?
Probably about, I don't know, 20.
That much.
They say the record for jersey sales, you know, for an individual player. I mean, the tickets that they've sold since, it's incredible.
look, man, he's a kind of he's a smart, funny, good-looking dude who has more charisma than Trout and, you know, Yelich and you name it put together. He just has an aura. Mike Schmidt was talking about Bryce Harper's aura. Yeah, think about that.
Yeah.
You know, Mike Schmidt's not much of an aura guy.
No.
And he was gushing about Bryce Harper's aura. Not that his leadership, not his, you know, his left-handed bat in the lineup. He was talking about the it factor with Bryce Harper. You got to have a pretty big it factor for Mike Schmidt to notice it and endorse it.
Final question I have
for
you.
Wait, real quick, just on that, one last thing I wanted to point out.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite part about your story about that was that Lenny Dykstra liked it.
Yeah, Dykstra liked it. Last night around midnight, I was getting ready to go to sleep, and Lenny Dykstra, tweeted at me and was like, hey, thanks for the reference. And I was like, yeah, sure, dude.
That's
just a random midnight tweet from Lenny Dykstra.
Lenny Dykstra. It's generally not a good thing, but in this case it was.
Oh, that's cool. Final question for you, Marcus Hayes. I guess it's a fill in the blank. The biggest question mark on the 2019 Phillies is what?
Well, I mean, it's an easy question. It's the, you know, the third, fourth, and fifth starter, and maybe the sixth, you know, with Jared Eichhoff being sent down, but, you know, being a viable option. Even more so than a bullpen that's going to be reconstructed again, even more so than, like, you know, the enigma that is at third base. This, you know, it's funny. You walk into that locker room, and the two things that stick out at you is how big Rhys Hoskins is,
mm-hmm.
who I think is kind of the key to everything, big right-handed bat in that park, and how incredible – the incredible shape and the incredible power that the third baseman has right now. I mean, this guy looks like an absolute stud. He's just amazing. And to look across the room – or actually to look to the locker to the right of him and see – you know, Scott Kingery, who's they're competing, quote unquote, for the third base job.
Right.
It looks like big brother and little brother.
Right.
I mean, he's done a great job with his fitness. He's done a good job with his focus. And it could be that, you know, second breakout year that sends him into the stratosphere. And that would be it's not the biggest question because he kind of is what he is right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, geez, what could he – you look at him, you're just like, wow, this guy – he reminds you of Yasiel Puig.
Really?
That's the physical presence that he brings, you know. It's really startling.
All right, Marcus Hayes, read him every day on The Inquirer. Marcus, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
All right. I've always been a huge Michael Franco supporter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm – you know, whenever I'm covering a team, I always like to, at some point in the season – have as personal a conversation as I can with a player and just find out what drives them every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everybody's
He's
different.
Just Uber, yeah.
Oh, thank you, Al.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.